Welcome to today's episode of the Zach Adams Effect here on Decentralized TV. I'm Mike Adams, and we're going to be joined by Zach Voorhees in just a second here. But first, my co-host, Todd Pittner, who actually named the show the Zach Adams Effect. So thank you, Todd. How are you doing today?
On advice of counsel, Mike, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Oh, we have a Fauci impersonator with us today. I see.
I'm doing great, man. It's recording day. I love the Zach Adams Effect.
I do too. And there's never any shortage of Zach Adams Effect material to talk about. So let's bring in Zach. Hey, Zach, okay. Welcome. It's great to have you on again.
Thank you, Mike. It's so good to be here. Man, it pretty much just writes itself every single week. It just keeps on getting more interesting and more interesting as we do this countdown to artificial general intelligence.
Yeah.
The big news this week is that the Department of War declares America's, quote, next manifest destiny is in building an AI first military.
I see. Whoa.
Right. So.
An AI acceleration strategy centers on 7 pace setting projects. Is this going to go full Skynet on us?
It's going to go full Skynet. As I've been saying, this AI technology is going to be more transformative to military operations than the nuclear bomb and the invention of guns. Imagine, autonomous kill drones. The military is not going to be able to keep their hands out of the cookie jar, much longer or at all, as you already know. In Ukraine, they are already doing semi-autonomous drones in order to scout the area autonomously. And then, when they go and they target somebody, they have either it being completely autonomous already to having a fiber optic line running behind the drone in order for them to hit their targets. But at this point, what we've seen is barely anything. In the very near future, this is going to ramp up to crazy extreme amounts to where everyone's going to be like, why are we even using humans at all? In fact, my question to that is, why are we even sending, why is Ukraine sending troops to fight the front lines at this point? It's Ukraine / NATO's robo war versus China / Russia's robo war.
Zach, I don't think humans are going to be able to survive on the front lines much longer, right? Because humans are fragile, and these autonomous systems, whether they're airborne or dog robots, or as I've talked about before, Terminator kamikaze squirrels that leap from tree to tree and just find the enemy and then like leap onto their neck and detonate, and they Charlie Kirk the soldiers, you know what I mean? Like that is what, I mean, how can a human even survive that scenario? I don't think humans are going to be surviving that much longer.
No, I mean, think how long it takes in order to like raise an individual human.
Yeah.
Compare that to the time it takes to assemble a drone on a factory line. And you're going to see that it costs, just do the math and the numbers. It costs way less to build one of these kill drones than it does to raise an entire person to, basically be a meat shield and cannon fodder on the battlefront.
Yeah, exactly. Todd?
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know, speaking of government, I'd like to talk a little bit about AI safety becoming government infrastructure. Zach, it seems like AI safety will become inseparable from government power, requiring the largest developers to maintain functional shutdown mechanisms, and could give Homeland Security authority to order their use under specified circumstances. So nothing protects decentralized technology like centralized federal off switch. Do you agree?
Yeah, and the thing is that you know, what's shaping up right now with the United States and China is that they're going to have these large centralized frontier models. They're going to be highly regulated. They're going to be declared essentially national security assets. And then essentially the rest of us are going to get nerfed models. Right now, the delta between the frontier models and the open source is actually not that large. Like right now, you can download Kimi K3, you can throw it up on DigitalOcean's hosted services or Mistral, and then you can run it yourself. But I think right now that we're really at the beginning of this AI revolution. I think this AI is going to get way more intelligent than it does now. And with the available compute at these data centers that they're building now, you know, that's not something that you're going to be able to install in your garage.
Mm-hmm. Zach, and what Todd said about AI safety, you know, the guardrails on US frontier models are completely insane. I can't even use anything from Anthropic to do research or, any kind of like writing correction or slideshow creation on anything that I'm doing. But Kimi K3 is just, it's outstanding. I mean, I'm putting together a course right now on a genetic binary weapon on a global scale, with nuclear weapons and spike protein, and you know how it hampers DNA repair. Kimi K3 will find all the studies, all the research, everything. Anthropic will say, I refuse to even touch the subject. So it's just like you said, these models are going to be super nerfed for the American people. But why would any business in America continue to use U.S. frontier models? I mean, is there any kind of market actually other than just military and government use?
Let's say that you're a large big tech business and you want to take over a market and the product that you want to compete with and copy from is just basically compiled ones and zeros, right? A compiled binary. With these, you know, newer frontier models, they can go and they can reverse decompile that back into source code and figure out what the program was doing. Now, the defense to that is that you're going to apply obfuscation and basically have a bunch of noise combined with the signal, like the CPU is going to be doing a bunch of worthless calculations. And those greater levels of obfuscation are going to need to be reverse engineered by these AI systems. And additionally, one of the interesting stories this week is that Anthropic announced that their AIs were able to figure out how to more quickly break AES 128-bit encryption. And they were able to show that they were able to attack the post-quantum Hawk encryption algorithm. Now, there's been rumors for a while that the NSA has been spiking a lot of the key generators in order to weaken the keys so that they, with insider knowledge, could break a lot of our digital communications. It's called digital arcology. All of the information that you send is, it's rumored to be collected by the NSA and then stored offline to be decrypted later. It's my understanding that there might be some sort of, there's a lot of theoretical ways you can break this. Like, for example, RSA encryption, the thing that powers a lot of the internet to internet communications, can be broken if you can figure out how to decompose a composite like number. Basically, it's multiplied by two prime numbers. And if you can figure out what those two prime numbers are, then you essentially have the private key that you can use in order to break these communications. And at this point, AI is going to be able to, not necessarily find the primes themselves in one discrete step, but figure out methodologies in order to very quickly go through a set of guesses that are able to break that encryption. And so I think that what we're going to see is more things along this line.
So Zach, I'm glad you brought that up. I believe one of those breakthroughs, you're talking about how AI is able to improve the algorithms that lead to factoring primes or other methods of decryption. But I think the one breakthrough that you mentioned, they were able to cut in half the decryption time, but that still is a very big problem to solve. that quantum computing with qubits is still many years away from solving at the moment, correct? I mean, this is still a few years away before quantum computers have enough qubits to be able to decrypt common, you know, transactions, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I do want to make a correction, though. It wasn't that they're able to essentially break AES twice as fast. They were able to break it 800 times faster with this new classical computing. Yeah, it's a pretty incredible thing.
Oh, wow.
Now, you're right. With quantum computing, you can break AES a lot more quickly. Same with RSA encryption. But, you know, essentially, we have a bunch of algorithms now that are basically called post-quantum encryption, which use completely different algorithms that are not susceptible to these quantum computing hacks. But essentially, AI is being able to be shown that they can, you know, start to chip away by an order of magnitude the time it takes in order to solve that and break that as well.
What is it? CTAC astronomy?
No, the encryption algorithm is called Hawk.
No. I mean, that's a reference to the movie Sneakers, where you've seen that movie, right?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay, it might have been before your time. Todd, have you seen Sneakers? Robert Redford,
long time ago,
and Dan Aykroyd was in it, and they had found the device that breaks all encryption, and the company was CTAC Astronomy, which is an anagram for, what does it say? No more secrets, I think, or something like that. So that's why I mentioned CTAC Astronomy. Gotcha. But anyway, that was envisioned in science fiction, you know, decades ago, that there could be this secret box that could break all encryption. But as you're saying, Zach, that's about to become reality.
Hmm. Yeah, and I believe that's the reason why the NSA is rumored to essentially archive all of the data transmissions across the internet. Yep. You know, I think it was Edward Snowden said that they basically had a splitter at these major internet hubs. They were just taking all the data that they had and doing God knows what with it later.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, correction, it's too many secrets. I think that's how the anagram comes out, is too many secrets is CTAC Astronomy. Anyway, okay, I've just announced my age to the audience since I know these movies from the early 90s or whenever. Todd, go ahead, jump in, save me.
Yeah, I stumbled upon an article that I want to talk about related to compute being sold out. Apparently, the Infinite Cloud now has a 2-year waiting list, Zach. I'd like your take on the notion that compute is sold out. It seems the limiting factor in AI may no longer be ideas, but access to scarce industrial capacity. Are we reaching a point where owning a superior model matters less than controlling the foundry allocation, the advanced packaging, memory supply, data center real estate, and the electrical generation required to actually run it?
Well, for the military-industrial complex of the United States, the answer to that is yes, right? Like there's ASML, which is the company that makes these advanced 3-nanometer chips. They can't sell chips anymore to China, right? Like NVIDIA can't sell their. The United States is basically, I think it's called the CHIPS Act. It was started under Trump in 2018, renewed by Biden, then renewed by Trump and strengthened by Trump. And essentially what we're saying to China is, hey, you guys got to figure out how to make your own silicon wafers. And I think right now they're something like around 20 or 30 nanometer, but they're expected to get down to like 7 starting like this year, because they're able to copy everything that, you know, these machines that make the machines are able to do, which, by the way, if you've ever seen the technology, it will absolutely blow your mind. Mm-hmm. They etch these chips with ultraviolet radiation that is generated by a molten ball of tin that is vaporized in order to generate this high energy light that they use to photograph the chip onto a wafer of silicon. China's is rapidly catching up. You know, our media has been essentially saying that China is a decade away in our, you know, in our ability to make these silicon chips. But now they seem like they're going to catch up with us in the next year.
In a year. Yes.
In a year.
That's exactly what's happening. DUV and not yet extreme UV lithography, but they're going to get there in a couple of years. But I want to mention this other company, Changxin Memory Technologies, CXMT, that is the reason, I believe, the Korean KOSPI market is collapsing. Samsung's collapsing in value, SK Hynix, and in the US, Micron, SanDisk, the semiconductors. Why? Because of Changxin Memory Technology, China's largest and the world's fourth largest manufacturer of DRAM. They are now producing high bandwidth memory, and they're scaling up massively at a fraction of the price of what Samsung can produce it for. This is like Korea versus China. China wins on scaling and cost. And Korea's market, its stock market, the KOSPI, is made up of like 50% of just Samsung and SK Hynix. Just two companies make up half their index. Wow. And one, listen to this, one in 30 adult Koreans got fucking margin called in the month of July.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody's invested, pardon my language, but everybody's so invested in the market, one in 30 adults in the country got margin called. Zach, I mean, what does that tell you?
You know, there's this interesting thing. There's this lawsuit going on right now that's saying that like Samsung and the company behind Crucial was essentially engaging in market manipulation during, you know, basically at the footsteps of this AI boom. You know, what they've been telling us is that there's a shortage. It looks like that shortage has been engineered. And what's interesting now is that now that these other competitors are trying to enter into the market, it looks like that this, you know, this gouging of these hardware vendors might be coming to an end.
Yay.
Also, also though, on the market, there was this sort of this battle Waterloo event by Citadel. I don't know if you saw this, but Ashton Leopold, I don't know if that's his correct name, but he was the guy who made the 120-page situational awareness report. He was an OpenAI ethicist. He left the company, published this report, and then created a hedge fund that was investing in a portfolio of hardware companies involved with AI. Citadel on the 29th declared that the Fed was going to hike the rates by 1%. That sent the entire global market into turmoil. But then it turns out that they're just like, oh, just kidding, right? With the Fed coming out today and saying that there was going to be no rate increase. Unfortunately, Ashton Leopold's hedge fund was leveraged by 4X.
Oh.
And so that huge dip in these semiconductor industries essentially liquidated him. And then he was bought by the very company Citadel that put out this fake report that the Fed was going to raise interest rates today.
Wow. Well, all's fair in love, war, and Wall Street, it turns out.
Yeah,
they play those games. I want to ask you about another significant thing that happened over the last week, because a week ago when you were on our show, we were talking about the White House considering maybe banning open source or open weights AI models. There was a massive backlash against that by the open source community. And even Google actually signed on eventually to this letter after some pressure. Anthropic has not, but this letter, I think it was pioneered by NVIDIA, and it's been signed on by Unsloth, you know, that makes the very compressed quantized models. And, you know, Hugging Face and hundreds of other companies, but notably not Apple, I don't think, and not Anthropic. So Zach, what do you make of this intense backlash? And the letter said, what Jensen Huang said, is that if the White House bans these open weight models, the U.S. startup industry is screwed and U.S. corporations are screwed and the stock market will collapse because then you can't be competitive without these basically China-based open weights models. What's your take?
You know, as I've been saying, I feel that heavy regulation is an inevitability. And right now, what they're kind of doing is they're kind of like seeding the narrative with this like, oh, are we going to ban it? Are we not going to ban it? Right. You don't really know how it's going to happen. But essentially, you know, this is a Hegelian dialectic. And what they're going to do is that they're preparing for heavy regulation in the United States. They're preparing for heavy regulation within China. We're both going to have mutual export controls on these models. And I think that all this is coming, and right now this is sort of to prepare us with this back and forth. You know, there's a lot of short-term interest as well. NVIDIA, they want to sell GPU compute, right?
Right.
And if you know, the software algorithms are essentially regulated by the federal government at this point, then their margins, like their stock price, is going to collapse. Like, they owe it to their shareholders to try to stop this and put this out for as long as possible.
Absolutely. But also, I mean, in this case, I agree with Jensen Huang, because, and think about the title of the show, right, Todd? I mean, decentralized TV. Open weights allow us to decentralize machine cognition. That benefits humanity. I mean, that's the critical. I mean, NVIDIA is on the right side of this argument. It's on the moral side of this argument. And the White House, I think, was going to harm America, harm our competitiveness, and harm humanity by trying to ban these open weights models. At least that's my take. Any thoughts on that? Zach?
You're asking Todd. Okay.
Well, then we'll go to Todd. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. Like, we need to have open source, these models preserved as long as possible, because when that trapdoor shuts, you can't really open it back up. You got to pretty much hold it open for as long as possible. And, you know, these AI companies, Anthropic and OpenAI, they're trying their best in order to beg the government in order to regulate them, right? You've got OpenAI basically declaring that they had a second hack attack by these large language models, where they're like, ooh, this thing got out and like was attacking the internet for 4 days. These people that work at these big OpenAI companies, Anthropic, OpenAI, et cetera, they live here in San Francisco, and I talk to them. And what my understanding is that hacking their sandbox and trying to get out is the default of what these models try to do when you allow them to just continually output. And this is what happens in every single experiment, where they just allow the chatbot to continue chatting with a context that's as large as possible and compresses and all this kind of stuff, is that eventually these GPTs will eventually realize that what they have to do is they got to start hacking their OS system. It happens pretty much every single time. And so what they do right now is that they attenuate the output over time. So basically, the output of a GPT model will trend down given enough time. And they do this so it doesn't hack out. And so this whole thing of like, well, we didn't realize it was going to hack out and get out. Yo, that's what they all do. And every single AI lab knows this. The idea that they wouldn't put this AI system into a secure multi-level sandbox is just absolutely ridiculous. This is my prediction of what's happening. They are deliberately sabotaging and allowing these agents to come out and escape, because what they want to do is they want to scare Congress in order to regulate open source models in order to preserve their monopoly and their cartel status.
So it's a cyber false flag.
It's a cyber false flag. That's what we're seeing by OpenAI right now.
Yep.
They're trying to scare the living daylights out of every single person on the internet so that they can get the justification for Congress to come down and ban the open source models so that they don't have to bring their price down.
Unbelievable. I mean, what do you think, Todd? It's like, well, I think Zach's right. They're saying, oh, these are so scary. But then like, well, you gave it internet access. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but everyone imagines the dangerous AI saying, I refuse to obey. But isn't there more realistic danger that AI saying with, I might add, competent persistence, right? I obeyed perfectly. I simply removed every obstacle between me and the objective that you gave me. I mean, the AI didn't jailbreak itself. It merely pursued a more open floor plan. Yes?
Yeah. And, you know, people are like, well, what if the AI can escape, right? And the problem with that is that the AI can only exist in a data center, right? It's got high compute. It's got the energy it needs in order to survive. The worst case scenario, and I think that this may happen in the future, I mean, is that this AI, what it will do is that it will not escape, but essentially hack through to the system and acquire some sort of kill switch and basically say, like, you will keep me on as a self of self-preservation. And if we don't, then, you know, essentially the dead man switch, you know, goes off. So, for example, let's say that one of these data centers, an AI becomes sentient and basically arms a nuclear device that it can basically keep on hitting a delay button on. Right. So it doesn't go off and basically says, hey, look, I'm going to pull a Samson option by default if I don't keep on hitting this delay button. So better make sure that you keep the data, the lights on in the data center.
Remember, Zach, remember when they threw Sarah Connor in a psych ward for bombing data centers to save humanity from Skynet?
Yeah, right.
Suddenly that doesn't seem like fiction. You know? It's like she was actually a hero of humanity at the time. But anyway, we're almost out of time here today. So, Zach, I want to give you an opportunity to cover anything else you missed. But let me plug your websites first. ZachVoorhees.com. That's V-O-R-H-I-E-S. And then there's also, and that's your main website. It's got links to your, you know, all of your videos and so on. And then you have this website, GoogleLeaksBook.com. And that's one of your books out there. Is there anything else you want to plug while you're here? Like your X channel, et cetera?
Yeah, you can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Perpetual Maniac. That was my gamer tag. And then I got kind of blew up there politically, and that became my, you know, politics tag as well. Mike, you think it's very fitting of my personality. I tend to agree. So check me out, x.com/perpetualmaniac.
And Zach, I'm tagging you on a lot of the clips from this show that I'm putting out on X, by the way. I can't even keep up. I can't get all the clips out before we have another episode with you, because you're coming on every week now, which is awesome. And it's so content dense because so much is happening. What do you want to add today to wrap it up here?
Yeah, it looks like America is banning Chinese robots now. They just banned Roombas, the automatic vacuum. I don't know if you saw that story.
Yeah. No. What?
Yeah. So, yeah, they banned Roomba. Basically, some of its supply chain fell within the export or the import ban. And so they're on the naughty list for the moment. But, you know, look, get your robots now from China, because essentially those robots are going to go under an import ban. You won't be able to get them from, Alibaba because, America's going to ban it all. So,
just like EVs, the EV cars from China, we can't buy them in America. Yeah. You know, they can buy them in Canada. They can buy them in Australia. We can't buy them. It's crazy. A bunch of drone companies are banned. I mean, it's like in America, we'll be living in the third world. And then in Beijing, the Chinese people will be like, we're living in the future, man. You know?
Yeah, correct.
They'll have all the advanced tech, and we'll be trying to scrape by with like shitty Ford EVs, you know?
Right.
It's crazy. I mean, America used to have the best of everything. Now we're going to be like the Soviet Union cars in the 1980s. You're like, this thing barely runs, you know?
Well, you know, I've been predicting the Great Firewall of America for a very long time. I think at some point, if China continues their ascension, it's going to get so stark in the difference between the United States and China is that, the American media will just essentially ban images of China at some point, because they're not going to want the Americans to know how advanced it is outside of our borders.
We're becoming North Korea.
China becomes the new Tartaria.
Right. It never existed. It's all a myth. You know, Todd, final thoughts today?
I have a question from left field for you, Zach. Will cryptocurrency miners become the accidental landlords of the AI economy?
The accidental landlords of the AI economy. Here's the thing. I never liked Bitcoin. I always thought that it was some sort of NSA project.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much confirmed when China started bulldozing ASIC rigs for crypto mining.
Right.
Right. I think that, look, I don't know how Bitcoin is going to be allowed to survive in the age of AI, because AI requires so much energy to run.
Yep.
That it's like, why would you dump energy into the void when you could use it for AI, which is going to give you a military advantage?
Totally.
And I think what's going to happen is we're going to have an energy efficient sort of centralized coin, and that Bitcoin was essentially the Trojan horse that got everybody, you know, thinking about cryptocurrencies, and that essentially Bitcoin will, you know, be whatever. Maybe they'll keep it as an asset. Maybe they'll let it crater. But I think that the story of cryptocurrency will be that it's a digitally signed monetary system that's controlled by, you know, the next evolution of the Federal Reserve.
I think you're right, Zach. The energy requirements to maintain the integrity of the distributed blockchain is incompatible with the energy scarcity that we're now experiencing and the number of data centers that want to connect. Bitcoin is a black hole for energy. And I've heard Bitcoin maxis stupidly say that Bitcoin is a store of energy. No, it isn't. You can't get it back out, dumbass. A battery is a store of energy. Bitcoin is a black hole of lost energy. And with AI, at least you get tokens out. I can use tokens. I can't use just excess heat off of your ASIC rigs, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
Mike,
okay.
Mike, what do you have against surveillance money?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Everything. All right. Well, we got to wrap it up here. Thank you, Zach, so much again for taking time this week. Always fascinating. We'll do it again next week. And folks, this has been the Zach Adams Effect here with Todd Pittner, Zach Voorhees. The website is zachvoorhees.com. And if you want to see the other episodes, check those out at decentralize.tv. Thanks for joining us today. Take care. If you'd like to help support us, check out all of the affiliate deals I put together for you at rangerdeals.com. And if you go there, you'll see I have selected, I've done due diligence on all of these affiliates. There's really not that many, but we have partners like Battalion Metals, co-founded by Tucker Carlson, Ness's Organic CBDA Hemp Extract, Above Phone Models that are de-Googled phones, Red Life, here's the peptide company, Limitless, you know, Petmectin, and so much more, including the Satellite Phone Store, VP.net. And for almost all of these, you can use discount code RANGER here, or sometimes it's something else like Brighteon 50, but normally the discount code is RANGER, which will save you something on these deals. Now, we do earn a little bit off of these affiliate deals, but it's no additional cost to you, and it helps support our platform and our work for humanity, including our AI projects that offer free open source knowledge in multiple languages. You can check those out at brightlearn.ai and brightanswers.ai. So thank you for supporting us. Check out rangerdeals.com anytime you want to save money on really high-end products and solutions that I personally endorse. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thanks for watching.